on tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the gunman who killed four people at a Manhattan office building last night was trying to target the headquarters of the National Football League, but he took the wrong elevator. Investigators also say 27-year-old Shane Tamura was found with a note in his pocket alluding to the idea that he had CTE and put some blame on the NFL for it. Tamura played high school football and had a mental health history, police say. Four people were killed and one was seriously wounded. Tamura took his own life afterwards. Another mass shooting, meantime, in Reno, Nevada.
Police say a suspect opened fire on a group of people outside the Grand Sierra Resort, killing three and wounding several more. Officers engaging the suspect in a shootout. He was taken to a hospital in critical condition.
ABC's Lana Moise, at least 77 Palestinians killed in the past 24 hours, most while seeking food, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Experts warning the territories on the brink of famine. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 4.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.88 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 9.6 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 60.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.59 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.99 a gallon, a difference of $1.40 a gallon. The national average price of gasoline has risen 0.9 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.10 a gallon. The national average is down 6.5 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 37.5 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 1.6 cents in the last week and stands at $3.71 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, "It's been another relatively quiet week for average gas prices, with most states seeing modest or slight declines, while a handful of price-cycling states experienced the most noticeable fluctuations. He added, "Oil prices continue to hover in the mid to upper $60, and with gasoline demand starting to ease as we head into August, we could see prices gradually decline as we approach Labor Day. That said, this is also the time of year when the tropics begin to stir, so we'll be keeping a close eye on hurricane activity that could disrupt supply and shift the outlook."
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Elton's back with the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers are now practicing in pads. Center Elton Jenkins, who's been dealing with a back injury, is back on the field and says getting a pay raise is no longer an issue for now.
Right now, I'm not even thinking about that. It's more so just, you know, what I can do to help the team and just being present, you know what I'm saying, getting good with the offensive line, building chemistry with the quarterbacks and the offensive line.
Baseball. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs last night. Home runs by Sal Frelick, Christian Yelich, and another for first baseman Andrew Vaughn. Now the Brewers making a trade, picking up catcher Danny Jansen in exchange for a minor league player. The 30-year-old Jansen has spent most of his career with the Blue Jays. He's originally from Wisconsin, where he played for Appleton West High School. Catcher Eric Haas has been designated for assignment. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We have a chance of scattered thunderstorms today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. An isolated thunderstorm or two tonight will drop down into the 60s tomorrow. An isolated thunderstorm or two possible with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, and at 5 o'clock, I engage with Professor Mariel Barnes about violence against women, gender, and the Epstein scandal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. There we are, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you join at the very top of the show, sometimes our layout is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We were kind of doing a little Brady Bunch thing there. Yeah. We were all moving around the screen. It was making me a little nauseated.
Oh, my God.
I almost choked to death on my coffee before the show this morning.
Oh, it wasn't because I was so funny?
No, it was because you were hilarious. You're right. Thank you for...
Good save.
Yeah, thank you for...
Real good save.
Explaining that. We have a busy show coming up for you today. Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the network from 6 to 9 a.m. joining after the 9:30 news. He spent some time on his show this morning talking about one of the Republican candidates for governor of Wisconsin, Bill Berrien, and had some interesting comments in an interview he did with a Madison reporter. So we're going to talk to Pat a little bit about Bill Berrien and his effort to take over the governor's office from Tony Evers, who has announced he is not seeking a third term. Speaking of that, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Gottlewski joining us after 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Going to talk again about the governor's race, whether or not she is interested in the governor's race, whether or not she is potentially interested in another position.
She's also here to talk about a town hall she's holding tonight with Gwen Moore.
Exactly.
Congresswoman Gwen Moore in Racine. We'll have more information on that as well. But yeah, there's a lot going on. Her name is definitely in the mix.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And then for Audio Sorbet today, after 10:30, this is where we like to try and lighten things up a little bit. Get away from the news.
The hops.
Most overrated tourist spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see signs for it. You're on the road, you go online, what can we do when we're visiting this town?
Yeah.
Go to X, go to this thing. Mm-hmm. Most overrated tourist spots coming up after 10:30 for Audio Sorbet.
Yeah.
I have one in particular in mind.
Okay.
If you've ever traveled across South Dakota, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please, don't. Oh,
no, don't. It's off. No. And then we'll wrap it up as we always do, very end of the show, around 10:51-ish. This shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Bite Me edition. My husband sent this to me. You'll go, what? And there's some visuals involved as well. So as always, if you can't stick around for the show because, I don't know, you have a life.
Yeah.
And you have a job and you have children and parents and all those things, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast.
Great. Yeah, you can go to your podcast distribution center of choice. You can look up our show, Matt and Aaron Air, and you can subscribe there. And if you do that, you can also sign up to make sure it's downloaded to your device every time a new episode's available.
Just
and that's
like that.
Twice a day. It's three times a day if you also sign up for our mini episodes that include just the portion of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. So there's a lot of great ways to get a hold of us. And I will make a small request. If you subscribe to the show as a podcast and you're loving what you hear and you feel like we deserve it, please give us a 5-star review because that helps.
It makes
with
a huge
visibility,
difference.
Helps with ratings, yep. Just gets the word out. And tell one person. Tell one person about us. And that's just a small request, two requests, I guess, from me.
Help us spread the word about civic media. Indeed. That would be great. I wanted to start off just with an acknowledgement of what happened last evening in New York City. Four people were killed, including a police officer, another person seriously injured, after a gunman opened fire inside an office building in Midtown Manhattan. The suspect then took his own life. It is believed... And this is depending upon various reports that are coming in because this is still a developing story. But the suspect has been identified as Shane Devon Tamura, as the man who opened fire yesterday, killing four people. He had a note on him claiming he suffered from CTE and making references to the NFL. The NFL offices are in that building.
Yeah.
So, again, this is a developing story. But we did want to acknowledge this starting off. This mass shooting again happened yesterday in Midtown Manhattan. Shane Devon Tamura has been identified as that suspect. Closer to home, wanted to start off with something from the Wausau Pilot and Review. And if you remember, the Wausau Pilot and Review is this little independent publication.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Online newspaper.
Online newspaper. Local reporting, local reporters on the ground. There was an effort to essentially sue them into oblivion within the last couple of years.
Yes.
Because a lawmaker, Republican, didn't like one of their stories. And so, yeah, they almost got sued into oblivion, managed to survive, and is now out with this story that we will include in our show notes, Fiscal Facts. Wisconsin education spending falls further behind the national average. So as much as Robin Voss and all the other Republicans like to pat themselves on the back and say they're such good guys for increasing education spending, funding, that's because we have been so far behind for so very, very long.
Robin Voss was on Upfront earlier this year, and when asked about education spending, he did not want to really increase it at all. As you remember, now in her second term, superintendent of DPI, she called for $4 billion increase in investment.
Right.
Robin Voss said that was a non-starter. His contention is that they gave the Wisconsin educational system the greatest increase in a generation. That's paraphrasing, but he did say in a generation. That is a quote from what he said. And we've discussed it before, the matter of, yes, of course, if I've never given you any money in my life.
If the amount is zero.
If the amount is zero, and then today I give you $5, I can say, well, I gave you the most money I've ever given you in my life.
I increased my donation of money by 100%.
It's still a true statement, and I'm still a jerk. But Robin Voss made that statement, and it's because they wildly strangled the educational system here in Wisconsin out of money, and they have been underfunding it for so long. So any little bit in his head helps. But as we're seeing in this article from the Wausau Pilot and Review, that it is still not enough.
No, we're still behind. Wisconsin spent about $14,000 per pupil on public elementary and secondary education in 2023. That's the most recent year that's available. This is almost 10% less than the national average of about $16,000 a year.
Yeah.
So we're still behind.
We're still behind. And this is on and what I would love to see, because this is a statement. This is it looks like a press release or a story from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And this also then brings me into, I mean, because when you look at the numbers here, it is really, really disappointing that we talk constantly about the education system in Wisconsin being not good enough. It's because they're not getting the funding they need to teach. They aren't being paid enough. But also, we can't talk about this without bringing up the fact that that we have a second school system.
I was just going to say that. Yes, we are running two school systems with our tax dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
The amount of money we send to private schools, now voucher schools, it's pretty astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is your tax money being given to... And the conversation on vouchers is interesting because, one thing, it has roots in Milwaukee. And the original...
Howard Fuller was the one who started it.
Yep. And if you listen to the drop, if you listen to WAUK, I've been playing actually clips of Earl's interviews with Dr. Fuller on this topic, talk about the original history, which was based in a lot of, it was based in, like, we want to get children a good education, and here's a way we can do it. Here's a pilot program.
Right.
What it has morphed into is an ugly version of just rich families getting money from you, the taxpayers, to send their children to private schools. Also, schools that will take your money, your tax money, take in students, throw them out, and keep the funding. It is not what I know for a fact, because he said this is not what Dr. Fuller envisioned for this.
I'm sure it's not.
So when we're talking about the funding of schools here in Wisconsin, I'm sure a big reason why, why the funding is almost 10% less than the national average is because so much of it has been siphoned off to charter and public schools. And I will include, once again, from the Wisconsin Education Network, their breakdown, which you can go on to. You can look up your school district and see how much of your tax dollars have been diverted to charter and private schools. And I have heard from public school teachers in the past and years before, their problem isn't as much with the voucher system itself. It's the fact that there are no standards to which they get to hold those voucher schools versus the public schools, which come under incredible scrutiny and are constantly being used as
a punching bag
to just basically blame why our kids aren't being taught well enough, which is because it's a way more nuanced than the schools suck.
Well, and I go back to, I do not understand how we can shell out millions and millions and millions of dollars to private institutions, and yet there is no state body to which they have to answer. Mm-hmm. Who are they accountable to?
Exactly.
Doesn't seem like they're accountable to anybody.
And in this article, it says, the Census Bureau's annual survey of school system finances collects finance information from public school systems and some charter schools, but excludes charter schools operated by private entities as well as private schools, as well as all private schools. So we're not getting the full information on how much is being spent on students, but we do know that those charter schools that are brought by private entities most likely in Wisconsin are getting something from voucher programs. And again, I don't think voucher programs are evil in and of itself.
Right.
I just think the way they're run is backwards, because, you know, if there are parents out there who truly can't afford to send their kid to a good school, and we can work out a system where, you know, you get the money, there's checks and balances, there's standards to be held, and if they're not, then there are consequences to be paid. Not the child, the schools.
Right.
Okay. Also, if you are a parent or a family and you make over a certain amount of money, you are no longer eligible for the voucher program because you can afford to send them there. Rich people getting our money to send their kids to private school, to me, I don't understand how you can support that.
Well, and this has been looked at in states around the country who mm-hmm. have voucher programs. And at least from what I have seen, the vast majority of people who are getting this state aid already had their kids enrolled in these schools.
Yeah.
So they could afford to have their kids in these schools already.
Yeah.
Going to what you said.
I think that this is one of those, you know, we wanted to share this story because it's upsetting, it's disappointing, but we need to remember that, one, anytime Robin Voss talks about the greatest investment in our education,
what a wonderful thing they did,
that it's not as great as he thinks it is, and we're still lagging behind by a great deal. And it's important to go to myvote.wi.gov and let your elected officials know this. If education is important to you, if you have children in school, public schools, call them, talk to your representatives, and tell them what you think about this.
Hey, I don't have kids in schools. I'm a taxpayer. I'm helping fund this. I get to weigh in on this, too.
I voted for an increase in my property taxes to fund this stuff, and I don't have kids.
Coming up, focusing a little bit on Milwaukee, bad Bob, naughty Bob. All the details coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the Board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, across the network from 6 to 9, will be joining us. Among other things, we are going to talk about one of the Republicans who have tossed their hat into the race for Wisconsin governor, Bill Berrien. That and much more coming up with Pat Kreitlow. Also, a reminder, we have baseball coming up later on today.
Two things. I just want to say, first of all, go Brewers. Mm-hmm. Ruined the Cubs last night. It was wonderful to watch.
You had to stick around through the whole game, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it started off as
not
one
promising.
of one of those, oh, man.
Oh, no.
And then I looked at the score later. I'm like, oh, wow. And then I woke up this morning because I fell asleep before the game was over. I'm like, yeah. And I just want to say thank you to Cassandra from New London, who sent us a wonderful picture of her puppers,
her puppy,
adorned in the wonderfulness that is Brewer's dog attire.
Very nice.
Very
lovely
nice.
Picture.
Very
we
much,
love
Cassandra.
That, Cassandra. Yeah. We always encourage you to send in your pet pics, by the way, at 855-752-4842. You can also do that directly from the app. If you have the Civic Media app, you can text and call directly from the app. You can also leave us a voice note.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yes. Yep,
check it out. It is absolutely free. Make sure you download that. But yes, Brewers coming up later on today. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. Brewers hosting the Cubbies. You can listen on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and also our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate in Hayward, Wisconsin, WBZH. Crew hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast starts tonight at 6:05 on those Civic Media radio stations. We don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but it just kind of jumped out at me because he just has been around forever.
Yeah.
In one form or another.
He literally bobs and weaves all over Milwaukee County.
If you live in Milwaukee County, this is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from today. Daniel Bice, who loves to be a thorn in pretty much everybody's neck. It's his job. The headline reads, Representative Bob Donovan was paying himself $850 a month from his campaign until he got caught. Yeah. In 2022, Donovan, a longtime Milwaukee alderman, was elected to represent the 84th Assembly District in Greenfield after defeating Lou Anne Bird. Mm-hmm. At the time, Mr. Donovan had homes in both Milwaukee and Greenfield.
Huh. Of the people.
After the legislative boundaries were redrawn last year, Donovan said he would run for the newly formed 61st Assembly District, but his home in Greenfield was outside of that district, so he got an apartment in the new district while keeping his other home. Now, this doesn't end there. In November, Bob Donovan narrowly once again defeated our friend Lou Anne Bird. He voted using the address of his new in-district apartment. His wife used the old out-of-district home to vote.
Oh boy.
A month after he won, Donovan began paying himself $850 a month from his campaign for staff lodging at his old house. In total, he paid himself about $6,000 in the 7 months after the election. Who was supposed to be living at this apartment, and why was he paying himself? This, again, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He did have two legislative employees. Both have their own homes. Mm-hmm. So was Donovan using his campaign account money just to pay off the mortgage for his old, now out-of-district house, or to cover the rent at his new in-district apartment?
God!
Donovan did not return calls or emails, according to Daniel Bice. He did, however, last week, reimbursed his campaign for $5,100 that it had paid him for that so-called staff lodging, and also refiled a campaign finance report.
Isn't it amazing how you can do that? Like, you can go.
Our lawmakers, and not just in Wisconsin, but on the federal level, with this whole hinky reporting on campaign spending and then going back and rewriting it. So it's astonishing.
It's the closest thing we have in this world to time travel. You can go back in time and say, oh, I did that thing.
And rewrite the thing?
Yeah. I personally have a lot of problems with any politicians, and I can think of politicians on both sides of the aisle who have done this thing of, well, I can't win here anymore, so I'll just move.
I'm going to move four blocks away.
I don't, that is like carpet bagging on any level, whether it's local, state, or federal, is something that I really do not enjoy, and I think it's insulting to the people. And unfortunately, in this situation, they voted for him. I think Lou Anne Bird was a better choice.
I agree.
But at the very least, we can say no to people like Eric Hovde and Tim Michaels. But yeah, this is finances alone, which to me calls for an investigation, and
they just shouldn't be. The rest of us wouldn't be able to do this.
No, not at all.
And if they're going to be our elected reps, they shouldn't be able to do stuff that we can't get away with.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be able to quote pay it back, and you know,
and just skate away. It's like, oops, I made a mistake. Money's back. New report. All good. I'll see you next month.
Bob Donovan's been around long enough to know what he can and can't do with campaign money.
And he knows what he can get away with, apparently.
Exactly.
We have news coming up, and then Pat Kreitlow will be with us. By the way, Cassandra says that's Briggs, her puppy.
Briggs is a good pupper boy.
Hello, Briggs puppy.
Hi, buddy.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the VAST, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world if you have the app, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? You chuck it on that one, you chuck it on this one. You chuck it on your mother and you chuck it on your father. You chuck it on your brother and you chuck it on your sister. You chuck it on that one and you chuck it on me. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. In coordination with Reedsburg Police Department, the Sauk County Partnership for Prevention Coalition conducted alcohol age compliance checks within the city of Reedsburg. Establishments were informed in advance about the coming alcohol compliance checks and were given information about correctly reading IDs when selling alcohol. During the checks, individuals who were younger than the legal drinking age of 21 went into businesses around the city to purchase alcohol. The checks resulted in zero sales to minors for a compliance rate of 100%. Compliance checks are only one part of a comprehensive strategy to reduce youth access to alcohol. The Sauk County Partnership for Prevention Coalition meets to reduce and prevent youth use of alcohol and vapes. Meetings are open to the public and all are welcome. For more information about the Sauk County Partnership for Prevention or to join the coalition, visit the website at p4psauk.org. The Richland County Fair will be held September 3rd through 7th. Those wishing to enter an exhibit in the fair are reminded that the entry deadline is this Friday at 5. All entries must be done online at fairentry.com. It is recommended to use Google Chrome or Mozilla Firefox. Older versions of Internet Explorer may cause unexpected results or may not work. Be sure to register all entries for each exhibitor in the family before proceeding to the payment section. Also, be sure to click the Submit button when you have completed all your entries. Entries are not final until they have been submitted. Once you have submitted your entries, check your email inbox for a confirmation email with a list of your entries and any related fees. You will receive a second email when your entries have been approved by the fair office. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its four seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We have a chance of scattered thunderstorms today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. An isolated thunderstorm or two tonight will drop down into the 60s tomorrow. An isolated thunderstorm or two possible with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone.
If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Give us a call. Send in a text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is going to be joining us after 10 o'clock. They are holding a town hall. She's holding a town hall here in Racine, mm-hmm. along with Gwen Moore, that's happening tonight. So she will have all the details about that and what's going to be happening at tonight's town hall, among numerous other things. Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski joining us after 10 o'clock next hour at this time. It's the segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to lighten things up a little bit, take a breath, get away from the news. Today's Audio Sorbet is the most overrated tourist destinations.
Yeah.
We've all gotten sucked into something. Go see the blank, and you get to the blank, and it's not what you were expecting.
Look at the great blank of the blanks.
So, most overrated tourist destinations coming up after the 10:30 news. Right now, though, we are joined by our friend and colleague and host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. From 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays across the Civic Media Network, Pat Kreitlow is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. I love a good road trip, and I love a good tourist destination. And I know the one that you're hinting at, Jane, and I'm going to be so sad next hour when you talk about how overrated you think it is.
There's so much buildup as you cross South Dakota.
Yes.
There is so much hype.
because there's nothing else to look at.
Exactly, yes. Because you're traveling across South Dakota. There's nothing else to grab your attention. So, yes, that is one of my most overrated.
I can't wait for this one.
Jane also hates joy. Tune in at 10:35.
And puppies and butterflies and flowers. Okay.
A crack about South Dakota actually got me in more trouble than anything else as a TV anchor.
Really?
And it was just the most innocent thing. It was a very windy day, and I made some comment about there's nothing in South Dakota to stop the wind, you know, from blowing here. And my goodness, one or two people with South Dakota roots, you know, called in and like, you can't insult South Dakota like that. And like, tell me what's not true.
Yeah.
But seriously.
Yeah.
So I suppose they wouldn't like my suggestion that North and South Dakota be fenced off and turned into a large animal rescue
my God.
Area.
Wow. I just want them combined because there's no way they deserve four U.S. Senate seats between them.
There's that, too.
Talk about the intentional gerrymandering.
Hey, everybody. Listen to us wherever you are on the app, especially if you're in the Dakotas. I will say this really quick because I know we're going to talk about the governor's race. I was really surprised that in Sarah Rodriguez's video, she made quite a swipe at Arkansas. Because she's talking about the expansion of Medicaid and that we're one of 10 states
that don't have it.
And he goes, Arkansas has it. Arkansas. And I'm like, oh, dude, you might have to work with her one day.
Look, it's the place gave you Sarah Huckabee Sanders for governor, for goodness sakes. So I think in this case, the swipe was deserved.
I would agree.
The states voted for two Huckabees for governor. What are we talking about?
Yeah. I know. We can only help you so much, kids.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to derail.
Send you in the right direction. What you do after that, it's out of our hands.
If you have complaints about our conversation, send your emails to pat@patkreitlow.com.
at arkansas.gov. Yeah,
there you go.
Or South Dakota. Yeah.
As I was listening to your show coming in this morning, as I always do, I heard you talking about Bill Berrien, who is the businessman who has entered the gubernatorial race, and you were...
That's my qualification. I'm a businessman.
Right, exactly. And the one thing that you kind of focused in on a little bit was he was asked about... And this, at least this is what jumped out at me when you played this interview he did with a reporter in Madison. And she was asking him about the 1849 abortion ban, and he said he is very pro-life, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, what, you know, right now it is 20 weeks in Wisconsin. You can get an abortion up to 20 weeks. And she asked him about that. And he said, I just don't think they should be, you know, in late. They shouldn't be late. This tells me he does not know how many weeks a woman is pregnant.
No. And it tells me that he has a number already, but he won't dare share it. And I sense it may be when you say, as he did, quote, so my philosophy is I am pro-life. If I find out later after he wins and is sworn into office and the first bill he introduces is a 6-week, in other words, total abortion ban, I will not be the least bit surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like the way he talks, it doesn't sound like you would even allow 6 weeks.
No.
Well, and what frustrates me is that where are the follow-ups on this? We have seen enough cases now of women who are beyond whatever the limit is, be it 20 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever it is. We have seen numerous instances of women who are past that date who are either going to die or they're going to get the health care that they need, which in many instances is a form of abortion.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Nobody
asks them about that.
Right. No, let's ask the rich white guy. Like, you know, if the law were such that, you know, you could not be treated for your prostate cancer if it were found to be so far along. Well, but I didn't know I had prostate cancer till then. Well, sorry, but that's the law. And I know what the response is from the anti-choice folks, but the fact of the matter is you're talking about taking away a person's choice on what to do with their body before they know they have a particular condition, in this case, being pregnant, which is a medical condition with all of the complications that can come with it. Why would you not have comprehensive reproductive health care for every woman?
And we have now spoken to not one but two women on this show who have come forward with their stories about being mothers or wanting to be a mother, having a
wanted
family.
Pregnancy.
This is a wanted pregnancy. And because of tragic and horrible circumstances, should, by a doctor's decision, should go through an abortion and are being told, sorry, no, you can't.
Yeah.
And it comes down always to the fact that the anti-choice people, or as I call them, anti-freedom, have done a great job of writing the narrative of the wayward woman who is using abortion as birth control. And if she just found herself a husband and she settled down and had a real baby, everything would be fine. And there'd be no problems whatsoever. And isn't life grand, Jane, when people just do what we want? No, this is not the case. And I don't know what the number is. I believe Dr. Lyerly has said it, and we can ask her when she's on the show. But the amount of women who have to go through the medical procedure because their baby is not viable is the higher number versus women who are just like, I'm 7 months pregnant. I think I'm getting an abortion. That's just not a thing.
Right. No, it's
and in
not.
Terms of the number of weeks at which, you know, an abortion ban could be considered. And I've asked Dr. Lyerly this is, you know, 6 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. What are those based on? And her answer is always the same. Nothing.
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 Right.
There is zero medical science or knowledge behind that number. The only standard you could theoretically use is viability,
right,
to survive outside the womb, which is in the 21 to 22 week range, which is why you've had viability as the standard. Anything less than that is a made-up number for political convenience. It's interference between, you know, in a woman's life and in the relationship between her doctor and her patient and her health care, and it needs to stop.
Pat Kreitlow is our guest. He is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the network weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. We are talking about Republican candidate for Governor Bill Berrien in an interview that he did with a reporter in Madison covering numerous things, including abortion bans. And Bill Berrien was very vague about it. And he's against late. He's against late. And Cassandra on the live stream, I think, has a good point. This language is intentional. Everyone has a different idea of late. It just gives them permission to be even more strict.
And she also says, but viability has also changed over time because of medical technology. And that's something that I think of, because it was a conversation, I can't remember if it was with you and Dr. Lyerly, Jane, or you and Dr. Lyerly, Pat, which was, you see billboards all over the state, all over the country that say, eyes since it's 16 days after conception. Conception is a construct.
Well, it's an amorphous thing.
Yeah, it's not something we're like, oh, the people did the deed, the conception happened now, so therefore no, there's no time frame you can put it on. It is not something that science
this
has
is
got.
When can well, this is the moment conception happened. No.
And the people that want to know, they want to nail that down. Well, from that moment of conception, which you can't possibly know. And if you're going that way, if conception is where you want to go, then you are walking right into the Monty Python bit, every sperm is sacred.
Yes. Yeah.
Seriously. And I know maybe that's a little too much for morning radio, but where's the next step after that, you know?
Well, one of the big complications that has always been, I actually heard it as a joke once, but then the moment of like, okay, well, if I'm a 20-year-old and I get busted for underage drinking and you believe life begins at conception, well, then I'm 9 months older than what you have told me on my birth certificate, because that's what I'm playing by your rules, guys. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. You say I'm 20 because I was born on whatever date, but you say life begins at conception. So really I'm 21 years old and your case falls apart. I mean, that's something someone's going to have to bring into consideration, that if quote unquote life begins at conception, that means you're all 9 months older.
Well, and the other thing I've seen within the last couple of days now, Bob Kennedy Jr., who is the head of our Health and Human Services, is now talking about taking away women's ability, if you are pregnant, to be on antidepressants.
Of course, because again, what is this all really about?
Mm-hmm.
It's
control.
About control.
Yep.
It's all control. We can control your decision making. We can control your bodies. We can control your health care, your education, the taxes that we're making you pay. It's always been about that, not about governing, but about ruling. And when you're going for arbitrary numbers or arbitrary standards, like whenever you know conception happens, that's the giveaway, mm-hmm. that it's about controlling people's lives, not actually doing anything to make life a little easier or better for people who are not, you know, clumps of fetal cells that are convenient for a political discussion. God forbid I take care of you after you're born, however.
Well, and we talk about that all the time, Pat, this big mantra on the right that we're the party of life and we love life and we love babies and we love mothers, except when it comes to, oh, the whole, oh, you're born now and now you need services. Again, if you just talk to Senator Ron Johnson about childcare, the elegant solution, Pat, is for women just to quit the workforce and voluntarily watch other women's children. That's Ron Johnson's solution.
Right. I mean, there's all this talk about how, you know, children do better if they've got both parents at home. But God forbid you help them, you know, afford childcare.
Right.
Because that's often why one of the parents is working outside of the home. Mm-hmm. They always want to have it both ways. And when you see any politician trying to have something both ways, it is normally about control rather than policy or service.
We're going to continue our conversation with the wonderful Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years. And we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently that the Trump administration's DOJ requested complete voter records from 12 states. Minnesota just refused to cooperate. In Florida, there's a decision in a court case over the city of Miami's proposed postponement of a city election. First to Minnesota, where the Secretary of State's office notified the Trump administration's Department of Justice that it would not comply with its request to turn over all voter records from the 2020 and 2024 elections, including voting and registration records. The office's general counsel said DOJ failed to provide legal justification for the request and did not specify how the data would be secured. DOJ has requested records from 11 other states, including Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. New Hampshire has also refused to comply, citing state privacy statutes. In June, the Miami City Commission voted to delay city elections from November 2025 to November 2026. It would extend Miami's commissioner and term-limited mayor by a year and was called a power grab. After mayoral candidate Emilio Gonzalez sued, a Miami-Dade County judge ruled July 21st that the city commission could not move the election without voter approval, according to the Miami Herald. We've linked to Minnesota's letter to DOJ and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10 o'clock news, Secretary of State in Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski, is going to be joining us. Godlewski and Gwen Moore hosting a town hall tonight here in Racine. So we're going to hear about that, among many other things. Join us around 10:06 for Wisconsin Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, joining us. Right now, our guest is Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the network weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. Before you joined us, if you were just joining us, we were talking about Bill Berrien, who is one of the latest Republicans now to throw his hat into the ring for the governorship. And we were talking about his stance on abortion. He doesn't want late-term abortions, didn't go into much detail about that, I think, by design. But we had a couple texts come in that I thought were important to share, Pat. Sue from Franklin, listening on WAUK, says, I had a tubal pregnancy, and the doctor had to remove my fallopian tube along with the embryo. Without that surgery, I could have died. if my tube had ruptured. It's crazy these people don't get that. Because of that surgery, we turned to IVF to have a baby. It worked out. We have a beautiful 26-year-old daughter. But those same people want to outlaw IVF as well. And Isaac from Baraboo also texting in, this is why it's important to know the policies of the candidates. Democrats, for the most part, vote to protect a woman's right to choose. Any vote for a MAGA far-right politician is a vote to strip rights away from women and the LGBTQ and immigrant communities. And I do think it's important to point out, I have heard more than one Republican politician, male politicians, say there is no reason or need for an abortion ever. And that simply is wrong.
It shows a level of ignorance that is perhaps best illustrated by an ectopic pregnancy, as you first described, that is happening outside the uterus.
Yep.
And it is a depressingly astonishing number of politicians, overwhelmingly male, who say, well, they can just fix that. They can just put the ectopic pregnancy into the uterus.
No.
Doesn't work that way. Maybe sometime in the future, the far future, they'll find a way to do that. That's not how this works right now. It's not how the human body works. And it is that intentional ignorance about human sexual biology.
Especially women's biology.
That is such an impediment to good public health care policy.
Well, and you make a very good point, Pat, about right now you cannot reinsert an ectopic pregnancy. You cannot move it from the tube into the womb. As you said, Pat, that is simply not medically possible. Maybe someday that will happen, but that would require investment in medical research, which we're not doing anymore.
No.
We don't want to do that anymore.
No.
And something I wanted to bring to light with what Sue was saying with regard to IVF really quick is that for the longest time, Republican, Democrat, everyone agreed IVF was great. There are Republican lawmakers who are the beneficiary of IVF. And we kind of all thought IVF is fine. And then the chatter happened. And then a group of religious figures voted against it. So now it's this thing of like it's not even on the table because I know why, but people say why. And so my point is like you can't. The trust then is that like, okay, you don't want abortion. That's fine. I quote agree with that. But IVF is great. It's not great now. What's the next line? What is the next thing? You can't do like, are you going to say adoption isn't good anymore? Because, well, they're not your real baby.
Yes. Here's the thing, Greg, the situation that we live in now where people who normally sat on the sidelines because they were so out of the mainstream. I would go so far as to say some people whose beliefs, were best left under a rock are crawling out from under the rock now because they're
getting elected. And they're getting elected.
Getting elected and waving their red hats. Mm-hmm. And it is only going to get worse as these folks who are emboldened continue to draw support from people who previously understood that, their view, they were all dead set in their belief. But they also knew the overwhelming majority of folks, weren't going to jive with them. But as fewer people, tune into the political process or get educated about human sexual biology or anything like that, it enables these fringe beliefs to take root in ways I never thought we'd see in our lifetime. And it sadly is going to get worse before it gets better.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the conversation. Cassandra from New London is on the line. Cassandra, we only got about 90 seconds left. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. This is the thing that really angers me, and it just shows you that there's no compassion from the right as far as like abortions go, especially in like what they coin late term abortions, which again, there's really no such thing. It's just language that they use just to confuse people. But I think what people don't necessarily realize, whether it's on purpose because of the propaganda or otherwise, when someone ends a pregnancy after 20 weeks, generally they're giving birth to that baby. They're not having this procedure that, the far right evangelicals put on these posters when they're outside of Planned Parenthood to scare people. Like, women are going through labor and delivery, and having these babies that they will not take home with them. And the lack of compassion from these people who want to take away this right to women is, it's just, it's incredibly angering because they clearly don't care.
Cassandra, I'm sorry. Yep, it is soul crushing. Thank you, Cassandra, for weighing in on that. Thank you, Pat Kreitlow. Really, really appreciate it. Join Pat tomorrow morning starting at 6. We have news coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The president talking about the deadly shooting in New York City.
President Trump in Scotland posts on social media Tuesday morning that he was briefed on the shooting that took place Monday evening in Midtown Manhattan, saying it's a place that he knows and loves. The president said he trusts law enforcement will determine why the suspect committed what he calls, quote, a senseless act of violence, and says his heart is with the families of the four victims. Police sources tell ABC the man who opened fire in the Manhattan office building that houses the NFL headquarters had a note claiming he suffered from the brain disease, CTE. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
There is a suspect in custody in Nevada, and three people are dead following a shooting outside a casino in Reno. Hotel guests said they saw people running and screaming away from the resort's valet area Tuesday. The intense heat that's been blanketing much of the country will continue for at least another day for most of us. Federal Reserve has started its July 2-day meeting. It's not expected to raise interest rates. This is ABC News.